Well, let's pray, guys. Father, we just ask your blessing today as guys, and I'm always blessed that everyone gets up. We come together once a month, and simply asking your blessing this morning, God. I always need your help and need your touch, Father. It's just always the same. We're always in need of guidance, and I would pray, God, you would bless everybody at this table, bless Matt, and just even guide me to help me this morning. I need your help. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Has anybody, I was kind of, it's interesting because there was a kind of a hullabaloo, and this is not the subject today, but I'm giving it in relativity to just the subject of men. There was this men's conference, I guess, in Missouri, and there was controversy. How many heard of that?
Yeah, I heard about it.
Okay. Well, the controversy, we're not talking about that. But I saw the promo for it. And Matt, one thing I think you can appreciate is, you know, the churches went Hollywood. I mean, the advertisements were, you know what I mean, top grade, like a commercial for the event. And it was all Stronger or something like that. And I'm watching it, and I'm seeing, like, monster trucks running over cars and guys lifting big weights and dropping the barbells. I saw a guy swallowing a sword. And, you know, and then there were, you know, they do the little mock interviews, you know, oh, my life has changed, you know, the little clips and the people. And I thought of something, and that's not the point, but I guess I saw it this last couple of weeks. Then we had the men's meeting, and I thought what it reminded me of was that it seems like, you know, it's almost like guys are treated like you appeal to their macho, you appeal to their, you know, strength. And I'm watching monster trucks, and it's not that I understand trying to motivate guys, but it looked like a WWE event. It really did. I expected to see, like, somebody body slamming somebody. And I just thought about it. And a lot of times, it's always like with guys, you know, we're going to do this, like being outdoorsmen. And I like our camping trips. I mean, I like going out sleeping in tents. But this stuff just was kind of another level. And you always think about manhood. And I thought, I don't think guys are, like, stupid. Like, you know, we don't give off grunts and, you know what I mean? And then we like stuff that appeals to that. But I just thought about, I've always done this, the plan of God or manhood and what it means and what it doesn't mean. And I remember many years ago, and it wasn't, I don't think it was a New Life camping trip, but I remember many years ago doing this, you know, going to some other church's trip. And like I said, it was the real macho thing, you know. But all the guys acted like little kids when they got out where we were going. This is before even New Life started. And again, it was everybody had, you know, everybody, you know, most of the guys were geared up for their fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. In fact, we caught some cool fish when we did our trips. But like I said, it was always like kind of the appeal to guys like to camp, guys like to do this. But I started thinking about manhood. And then there's been a lot of movements, too. There was a Kenneth Cole Maximized Manhood through the years. That was better. It didn't really feed into that kind of, you know, macho stuff. But I was going to go to Isaiah 53. I want to look at Jesus. He's always been my idea of a man's man. And he doesn't follow the normal lines. But there's things to be gleaned, and I'm not suggesting none of you will die for sin. But let's go to 53. I'm going to read a few things. I just thought, what is a maximized manhood? Strength. What is our strength even? Is it muscle? Is it will? Is it stubbornness? And I started looking at Jesus, and I thought, in Isaiah 53 is the famous prophecy 850 years before Jesus ever walked the earth. And I started looking through it, and I thought, there's lessons to be. Now, all of you know, when Jesus was in the garden, one of the most manly things I ever seen him do was, he came to die, and he had a mission, and he stuck to the mission, you know? I mean, sometimes I admit I've got a short memory span, so he did 33 and a half years to the point. And that's what he did. But I was reading Isaiah 53, and I wanted to read 53:3, and I want to kind of apply it. It says that Jesus was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. So what I got off of that was, I mean, to be a man of God, if I'm going to go with the Jesus model, I stick to the plan, even if it wrecks my vanity, even if it causes suffering. And, you know, as the ultimate man of God did, I look at this and then I think about this. Sometimes I've tried to leave my pride intact when obeying the Lord would be less than leaving my pride intact. And then 53:7 says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. And a lot of times, I don't know for all you guys, but sometimes I lean on aggression through the times. I'm not telling you that there's good aggression, there's bad aggression, but I think a lot of times you can lean on anger and aggression. But this is the weird part when I read this. Like, Jesus does this yielding to the Father's plan. Now, he's going to go through something none of us will face, but that general, you know, he knows it's hard, but he yields to the Father's plan for the greater good, for the big story. And especially as leaders, as men, there's a big story. We don't think that. And I think with the way sometimes, you know, I remember in the church years ago, the best way to be a man was to be a woman. Guys were getting effeminate and, you know, like, and I don't mean, they were, you know, getting in touch with their feelings. And I thought that was a mistake as well. And it's funny, but he was willing to do this. And he didn't open his mouth. Now, I don't know about you guys. Do you guys remember the Y2K? Mm-hmm. And everybody went out and believed the computers couldn't turn over to zero. So I didn't know a lot of people, but I knew a few people that got roomfuls of dried goods and, you know, K-Packs, those, what are they called? They're military food. And you really don't want to have to eat those. But I remember that. And then I was talking to somebody once and I talked about persecution, you know, in other countries where people are let off and taken away. You know, when I was in Cambodia, my main translator that I liked the most, his father was killed by the Khmer Rouge, and that Don, that would age a little better with you than most sitting here. They would might not know Pol Pot, anyway. But it's interesting because I was talking to somebody. And I talked about persecution, and the person said, like, you know, I got guns at the house, and, you know, we're ready to defend. And I said, the problem, partially, and I'm not saying don't defend your family, but if we had actual governmental crackdown, yeah, you can have a whole lot of guns in your house. I mean, they're going to burn your house down. But it was always the might, you know what I mean? I'm going to defend my family. And there's a reality to that. We men do defend our families. But it wasn't that thought, like, I'm going to fight till the end. And I turned to the person and I said, there's thousands of years of martyrdom where men didn't fight by might, where they were tried and executed for their faith. And in some countries, absolutely still goes on. North Korea, absolutely. There's a lot of countries. And when you know the people that I know, so they fight by their testimony. They fight by their willingness to die for their faith. Now, we're not in that situation. But I thought about Jesus yielding to the Father's plan. It wasn't good for his longevity as a mortal man, you know, to live forever. He was going to have to die. It wasn't good for, you know, the people that loved him because they would hurt because he would die. But there was the grander plan. And I thought, that's a really amazing manhood. Because like I told you, I was talking to my friend and, you know, and another thing that was interesting, and I know you guys will get a kick out of this. He was talking about too, if like, if the, you ever hear that, like, it's going to break down, we're going to have chaos in the world, you know, kind of the conspiracy, you know, all norms, there'll be marauding bands. And I said, what you're failing to realize is if there really was a breakdown in society and you had actual weapons in your house, the only result would be a marauding band coming, you know what I'm saying, and burning your house and grabbing your weapons. You know what I mean? Because you're saying, though, if you believe there would be a time where there was no law enforcement, where it was a jungle again, you and your little couple guns really wouldn't fare well. You get what I'm saying? But Jesus, he was afflicted. He did not open his mouth. And then I thought about you know, there are times where we suffer and we're not saying much. How about manhood as like being wronged but not crying foul right away, or being quiet? I've had things to where I could have offered an explanation and put everything in the truth perspective, where I've had the Lord like say, right now, do not defend yourself. And I think we all get that, because again, we struck back. This happens. And I started looking at this. I thought there was a plan of God. The ability to remain silent at the time was being a man. It was part of God's plan. Jesus is getting handed over. And here's the weird part. Jesus could have summoned 12 legions of angels. He said it. If you believe he's the Son of God, then you believe he's not a liar. And when Pilate, you know, is saying what he says, and he's kind of straightening Pilate out, hey, do you not know that I could do this? I'm God the Son. They would come, and this wouldn't be a crucifixion. This would be a slaughter of my enemies. And I think about it, strength under control. Now, when I grew up at raw aggression, I mean, we were very temperamental, the family, a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling. Some people say that's an Italian household. I can tell you that's not limited to Italians. So I always saw raw aggression. You're offended, you know, you lash out. You want to get something done, you scream and curse and get it done. But I thought about this because in our society where feelings, you know, and I'm offended, it becomes so major for men to be examples, we're going to kind of need to follow this Jesus model. So there are times when you're silent before the persecutors. There's a time where you speak truth. And Jesus spoke truth when he was before Pilate, but at the same time, he's saying, I could get out of this, but this is according to the will of God, so I won't. Do you guys remember Beyond the Gates of Splendor, Jim Elliot? Don might remember, Josh? No. The famous story of there was three missionary guys. They graduated from, I think, Wheaton Christian College. They went to the Akan Indians in the Amazon jungle, and basically they were trying to establish, they were trying to establish a missionary post to the Akan Indians. Now, the Amazon, that forest life there, a lot of these people had never seen a car, light bulb, a lot of things. They did finally make contact with a young woman and a guy that came to their camp one day, and they gave them hamburgers, believe it or not. And they kind of went and left. Later on, tribesmen with spears came and they killed all three of them. Okay, and we didn't know a lot of it. We thought they were overwhelmed. They had pistols with them for a range of things. There were Amazon jungle, probably has a lot of unknown risk. It was interesting. They had a plane. There was a beachhead that they were able to come down on, and it really took some tricky flying, because before they were lowering tracks in the native language into the jungle. And, you know, these guys are fresh, like in their 20s, just graduated out of seminary. And so they're doing this. But long story short, these tribesmen came upon them where they were, like, camping, where they set up the plane, okay? They killed all three of them. They killed them. They speared them to death, okay? A long story short, obviously, the wife of Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, wrote a book called Beyond the Gates of Splendor. And it's an amazing thing, because she ends up going back into that jungle. A revival takes place with all the Akan Indians. In you can see where the seed of the blood of Jim and his partners, it birthed a revival. Their kill rate in those later, because once they got saved, people were able to come in and learn. Also, the man that led the spirit, this led the charge that killed the three, became like a grandfather figure to Elizabeth Elliot's son. So real interesting. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? And God told her to go into that jungle. She brought herself, a daughter and a son. And she went into the Amazon. But long story short, the guys actually were able to explain to Elizabeth they were regretful that they killed him. And apparently what had actually happened, you know, the young guy and the young girl that had come, they actually were like seeing each other, but from different tribes. And like in any situation, the parents didn't want them to be together. So they kind of ran away, but in their running away, it could cost your life, depending on what the father of the girl or the father of the guy says. They had told as an excuse when they went back to their tribes, they decided they couldn't make it on their own, that these white men had taken them captive for a day. So when the hunting party went out, believe it or not, those guys, that wasn't true, but they killed them. But here's the other part. The three of them had talked about, they had a pistol or a couple pistols, whatever. It came out later because they found some journals. Those guys had made a decision if we're attacked, because this is like 60s. It's again, that Amazon is even still rough, but it was really untamed. They said, if we get attacked, what do? We defend? And Nick Van Sant and Jim Elliot, they just said, well, here's the problem. We know where we're going, but if we shoot them and they're attacking us, it's pretty clear where they're going. They made a decision, and they had this high tree fort. Like, you had these tree forts because of the jungle. The only way to sleep, you had to go way up in the trees. Otherwise, there was a lot of animals and stuff. As they did that, what was understood, they made a deliberate decision, even if they were hit, they would die for the faith, because perhaps the shedding, you know, of their blood would open a door, and it did. So they could have defended themselves. I thought about manhood, because I know it's instinctive. I don't know about you, but if I'm getting attacked, I'm attacking back, you know? I'm attacking back. And then but manhood is strength under control. And simple aggression is not the control we need. And I think about this. But like I said, you get these guys and you call them to a conference and, you know, okay, monster trucks. And look, like I said, it reminded me of a World Federation wrestling thing. Guys swallowing swords. And it's just a cheap placebo of what real manhood is, you know. It appeals to the eye. It appeals to the macho. It appeals to that stuff. And so you kind of think, why are we selling people short? But anyway, that was something. 53:10. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. Some translations say to death. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, and it goes on and says, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. So, you know, it's interesting because Jesus is going to get crushed. And that doesn't speak totally of the crucifixion, but he carried the sins, you know, he paid for the sins forward and backward, so he gets crushed. And what's he say to the Lord? Not as I will, but as you will. You can imagine Jesus, being God the Son, perfectly discerned the death that was coming. He also was able to discern the weight that he would feel. But it says it pleased the Father, not that it gave pleasure, as far as watching his only son crushed, but it pleased him. This was part of God's plan, and there's a strength under control. I could call angels, but I'm not going to, because it's not the plan of God. I could defend myself. I'm not going to, because the plan of God is that I give myself. And with stuff like that, I mean, if you think about it, I was raised, as far as the culture I was raised in, and I'm not saying this is bad. I mean, everybody runs around and says how bad they had it in. It's like in my dad's culture, when a guy got home, if he was the breadwinner, he could have a porterhouse steak. The children could eat hamburger helper. And the reason was, he was the breadwinner. There was kind of an elevation of the father figure. He could have the bigger portion, although we never had to wrestle for portions. So, but it was an interesting thing, because it was a different kind of system than the American system. You know, a kid goes, that's not fair. That didn't even exist in the 60s. We didn't say that's not fair. You know what I'm saying? But I remember that kind of being an interesting thing. But one of the impulses, I believe, in our manhood for Christ is that we're willing to pay a price if that's what God wants. Because I imagine there's a time to grab the gun. There's a time not to grab the gun. There's a time to open your mouth. There's a time to close your mouth. But I will say this. I do believe the way men and women are built, we see it different. I don't believe the differences are wrong in either part. In fact, a lot of ways where you get a lot of stuff to where it's like the differences, they're not, I don't mock because we see differently in a way because God's made us that way. I really believe that. You know, even from the times, I'm not going to say prehistoric, but you look at different tribes where the women, you know, they didn't go out into war. But our greatest strengths that I wrote down is our ability to yield ourselves. And yielding is what is the tough thing. Because we have a fight reflex that's really strong. And like I said, the one friend of mine said, boy, if they ever came for me, I'm defending my family. And I'm thinking, you know what? A lot of martyrs in a lot of countries, they came for them. And their guns were of no match anyway because you had a military machine that wasn't going to, you know, some guy with some guns in his house wasn't going to stop it. But I thought the greatest strength to submit. And then you look in Fox's Book of Martyrs. But here's the interesting thing. Joshua gets commissioned. Moses dies. And Moses, like, you know, we look at Moses. Would you want to be a guy like Moses? And is he the ultimate of manhood? Again, there's another man yielding. And when God tells Moses, I want you to think about this. He shows him the promised land, but remember, he strikes the rock when he wasn't supposed to strike it. God says, you will not enter the promised land. So Moses, he takes him to a hill to show him the promised land, but he himself cannot enter. Did you ever think that Moses could have technically, you know what I mean, kind of said, well, I'm entering anyway? But rather forbidden by God to enter, so he submits to the will of God. But there's a verse, it says that Moses was the humblest man on earth. He led over 2 million people out of Israel, out of Egypt, into the promised land. Again, you see this thing, you know? So being a man is not never admitting you're wrong. Being a man is being humble. And I go back to the Jesus model because Moses was a Christ type. But I looked at another commission to Joshua. I'll read it to you. Joshua 1, chapter 1, if you want to go there, verse 2. And